She said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and lay there. And he said unto Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us, with all this care, what is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door, and he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said to his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And as it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. And that's what I want to preach on tonight. It is well. I wonder tonight, how strong is your faith? I was so thankful God laid on Brother Hancock's heart to preach what he preached. There are so many things that come in our lives that are so hard. And there are times of trial, and there are times of tribulation. How strong is your faith? The Apostle Paul describes faith in Hebrews 11:1. He says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Do you really believe the verses that you quote most? It is one thing preach the Word of God, it's another to practice it. It is one thing to teach the Word of God, It is another thing to practice it. It is one thing to quote Scripture, but how do you react in the times of trial? I believe that we can learn a tremendous lesson from the Shunammite woman. In the story, as it begins with Elijah, and there's certain things that I read in these verses that just jump out, and it says, a great woman. And we all know this is the passage of Scripture from whence we take the prophet's chamber. The thing that really blessed my heart is this woman said to her husband in verse 9, I perceive that this is an holy man of God. How'd she know one? How could she identify one? You got to have a little bit of what you're talking about to be able to identify it. Is exactly what I believe. And so she said, I perceive. I believe this is an holy man of God. And she said to her husband, said, you know, he travels this way, and you know, and I, this is not in the Scripture, sure, but I just think, you know, she said, it would really be nice if we just provide a place where he could rest. A place where he could stay. And just what a tremendous help. Just a what a tremendous thought this Shunammite woman had. And so the husband, of course, was in full agreement. And they prepared him a room. And they put the things of necessity there in that room whereby that he could be comfortable when he traveled back and forth. And you know, old Elisha was appreciative. He got to thinking about, and you know, folks, it's not all somebody else giving to us. It's a blessing and it's a joy. People do things for you. But it's a greater blessing and joy when you do something for them. And especially for someone that you don't expect nothing in return from. What a blessing it becomes. The room was placed there. And Elisha said to Gehazi, I said, wonder what we could do for this Shunammite woman. Gehazi said, well, Elisha, she don't have a child and her husband's old. And so Elisha said, call her. And she came over there at the door. And he said this. He said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And as Elisha had said, so did God do. And at the time of life, she had a child. And the child grew. And the child was old enough to go out into the field with his father. And the child then said, my father, oh, my head. And the father said to one of the servants, said, take him to his mama. And went over there, and that I can see that child now sick and sitting on his mother's knee. And there she is holding that child. And you can imagine how concerned she is about that child. And he said, and the Word of God says here that the child sat on her knees till noon and then he died. And I thought about, oh, how hard that'd be. How hard that'd be. Some of you have gone through that. No doubt some of you here tonight held the little ones in your arms and held them on your lap. And they've died. And so immediately then she She made an attempt and an approach to go to the man of God. And when she went to the man of God, she told the man that was driving her thing, said, "Don't spare me. Drive." I mean, that's exactly what she said. And so when Elisha saw him coming, he said, "I believe that's that Shunammite woman." And said, "Gehazi, go meet her," and asked her, said, "Is it well with thee?" Now we're going to see both the living and the dead. Said, "Is it well with thy husband?" But even before she went, she told her husband, said, "It shall be well." That's what she told her husband. Said, it's going to be all right. Said, "It shall be well." And said, Gehazi asked her, "Is it well with the child?" And she said, here's what she said. "It is well. It's well." So many times in my life, God has brought me through these things. And I've had to just do like the Shunammite woman. And say, "It's well." I started not long ago. Anytime that I write anyone, here's how I write it. "Dear friends in Christ," and I put greetings, comma, and I put brackets up and I say, "All is well." All is well. Put it up there. Now, there must be a reason or a basis to be able to say all's well or it is well. You can't just, without any basis or reason, say everything's okay. You've got to have something you're standing on. You've got to have a basis of that assurance. You have to have a basis of that surety. It can't just be, "Well, I think everything's going to be all right." That's not the way it is. God has so arranged and God has so fixed the situation to where that we can see the basis of this reasoning is not with man. And the basis of this reason is not with man, what he has done, what he's doing, or what he's going to do. But the basis of the reason it's well is because of God. Because of God. Because of who He is. And because of what He has done for us. And what He is doing for us. And what He's going to do for us. There's basically three things that I want you to lay hold on tonight. The first one is, it is well because of election.
Amen.
It is well because of election. Election is an act of God. It is the choosing or selecting of certain individuals. When Paul wrote to Thessalonica and he told those people at Thessalonica, "Now, folks, here's what we ought to do. We ought to preach election. We ought to teach election. We ought to talk about election. We ought to sing election. We ought to pray election." That's what we ought to do. It's not something to be afraid of. Let these people that don't believe it keep you from singing about it, keep you from preaching it, keep you from teaching it, keep me from talking about it.
False accusers.
I get accused of a lot of things that I'm not guilty of when it comes to preaching on the doctrines of grace.
But election, it is the choosing or selecting of certain individuals.
You know why I know it's well? Because God chose me. Now I'm talking about the reason or the basis. Now, I'm not talking about some frivolous thought, oh, everything's going to be all right. It's well. It's okay. No, I'm talking about it's well because of election.
I'm talking about it's well because it's an act of God. It's not an act of man.
Did not he say in John 15:16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Well, that's a whole lot. What we must understand, too, is election is not salvation. Now, I read a little article on a little paper here, and this fellow that I know up in Alaska or somewhere, and he let this guy down south right in there that I know, too, by the name of Herb Hatfield, and he wrote it, and he said in there that you're saved in eternity, or you're saved when you're chosen. Election is not salvation. So I got to write to brother and just write all I'm going to write, 2 Thessalonians 2:13-14. I'm not going to argue with him. I'm just going to give him two verses of Scripture. And here it is. Election is not salvation, but unto salvation. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2:13-14, but we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, that salvation is just more than saving your soul. And that's why it is well because of election. Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. In eternity, listen to this real closely. In eternity, God ordained every person that would ever be born. He got a list of them. Now, he don't have to write them down like we do, but he's got a list. And you know why I know he's got a list? Is because he chose some. What did he choose them from? He chose them in Christ Jesus. Right. I believe that God knows, that God knew and God knows, He knew every person that was going to be born up until this time, and He knows every person that will be born from now to the end of time. God knew that in eternity. But then He wrote another book. And that book is called Lamb's Book of Life. In this book, He wrote all the names, and He took them from that list of all that would ever be born. In every age, of all those that would ever be born, He wrote all of those, the names of those people that He chose in Christ, the Lamb of God. He chose them in Christ, the Lamb of God, and wrote them in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Ephesians 1:4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Revelation 13:8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him. We know that's talking about the Antichrist. It says, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Revelation 17:8, the beast that thou sawest was, and he is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not
written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Revelation 21:7. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination nor maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. You know what we say? It is well. It is well. I tell you, folks, it's well. It is well. But then, the second thing, I believe it is well because of predestination. One fella got on the radio and he talked about this and talked about that. And one Baptist preacher called him and he said, I abhor what they call the 5 points. Boy, you better watch that man blaspheme the Word of God. You better know what you're abhorring. You better know what you're talking about. Predestination is an act of God. He says, having in Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. I believe in absolute predestination. God is sovereign in all things. He controls the winds. It's something to watch how He can just put it down one place, pick it up, put it right over here. He can take one house out between two. You can't see the sovereignty. And He controls the water. And we've already heard this covered, the bounds. He can send a flood, a flash flood. He controls the storms. He controls the earthquakes. He controls the volcanoes. He controls both good and evil. And is never considered the author of sin. In no way. Some of those fellas that say they're real old primitive, there's different groups of them. Some are absolute and some are progressive. The fellow at First Pastor in Olmsted Church became a primitive. And he thinks that we don't believe some truth and our church is stronger than he is. We believe in absolute predestination. He's a progressive. But we believe that God is in control of it. We believe that He also controls the destiny of every person. Your destiny is not in your hands.
Amen, brother.
That's why we can say, it is well. That's why we can say, it is well. This verse says it well. Acts 15:18. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. There are some things that God, that are predetermined concerning every person. One is a time to be born. It is a set time and it is not an accident. You will not be before your time and it won't be after the set time. You'll be right on time. That's God's time. God controls that. Ecclesiastes 3:1-2, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. Here in the text that we read in 2 Kings 4:16-17, and this is Elisha, he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace the sun. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto me. And he said, and the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. She learned a tremendous lesson right there. She learned that God does things on time. This Shunammite woman wasn't as ignorant as some of us might think she was. God had revealed some things unto her, but there's not only a time to be born, but brother, there's a time to live.
Somebody said, we're so glad to see you. You're not a bit happier than I am. I mean, you know, there's a time to live. And this is our time to live. But I tell you what the psalmist said, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Amen. That's what he said from the Word of God. But there's not only a time that has been determined to be born and a time to live, but there's a time that's been determined to be born again. Yes. Amen. And you ain't going to get them before that time either.
That's right.
You don't have to use that word, get them. Brother, they come.
Amen, brother. Amen.
You know, when I think of that great truth, you know what I say? It is well. Because you know who's doing that? Man's not doing it. God's doing it. And that's why Paul said when he wrote this, he said, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. Now, everyone of us knows as New Testament missionary Baptists that we go into all the world and we preach the gospel to every creature. But he said, for our gospel came out of you in word only, but also in power. And in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. You can do anything you want to do, but you can't quicken them. You can preach to them. You can witness to them. Paul said in Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. So I believe that there's a determined time to be born, a determined time to live, and a determined time to die. And you know, you think much about dying? I do. Now, I wholeheartedly agree with Brother Hall where he preached everything, but, you know, God's not going to give me my rathers. Yeah. It'd be glorious. But not only is there a time to be born, a time to live, a time to be born again, but there's a time to die. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed a man once to die, but after this the judgment. You will not go before the appointed time. Here's what people always say. Well, now I believe if you'd done this, or if you'd done that, or if you'd gone and seen this doctor, gone and seen that doctor. Now, let me tell you something. We all know we're responsible to God for the quality of life. We're responsible for the quality. That's what we eat. That's how we exercise. That's whether we follow the doctor's orders, you know, and things like that. We have a responsibility. But that will not determine the time.
Amen, brother.
Amen. But we are responsible creatures. You will not go beyond the appointed time, and you will not go before the appointed time, and you will not live beyond the appointed time.
Amen.
You know why? Because predestination is not an act of man. It is an act of God. What do we say? What do we say? It is what? Now the third thing that I want us to think about. It is well because of glorification. Glorification is an act of God. It is not an act of man. Now I know we try to glory up a little. Down here, you know, you can put... Well, I better get myself off of this. I always have to get in trouble, you know, when I'm preaching. And I don't want to do that. This has been such a wonderful conference, and I want to stay that way. God has a design for both the living and the dead. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says this. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's God's design. Brethren, here's what
the Shunammite woman knew. She knew, I believe, that there was a resurrection from the dead. There ain't anybody in their right mind has had a got a child dead and can say it's well, other than knowing that there's a resurrection. There is a resurrection from the dead. Why are you able when the Lord takes home your husband or takes home your wife, why can you say it is well? Because you say, well, they're saved by the grace of God. And you can say, I know that now they're absent of the body, they're present with the Lord. They're with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that one day they're going to be resurrected. 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. 1 Corinthians 1:53-54, it says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corrupt shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now that's for the dead. But what about for the living? For the living it'll be translation. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And you know what the last verse says, verse 18? You know what verse 18 says? Wherefore comfort one another with these words. You know what you can say? You know what you're saying when you comfort the word? It is well. You know what you're saying? Everything's okay. That's what you're saying. It is well. Because you're comforting with these words. What will the change be? We shall all be changed. Philippians 3:20-21. For our conversation is heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is even able to subdue all things unto Himself. What we can say is, it is well. The Shunammite woman is a tremendous example. Lord gave me this thought, I don't know, a couple of years ago. And you know, I never could get it together till last Sunday. Lord just never would give me what I needed to put with it. And you preachers know what I'm talking about. You know how you'll carry something around. And I have quoted that all as well. She told her husband, it shall be well. Isn't it wonderful when the Lord's been pleased to take one of your children to glory, and you can say to your wife, honey, everything's okay. Everything's all right. You know why you can say that? It is well. See, you got some basis for saying that. And the basis is found in the Word of God. And she told her husband, said, it shall be well. And then she told Gehazi, said, it is well. And she said it for both the living and the dead. Now think of it. She said it for both the living and the dead. We experience different trials in this life. And here's what we know. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now why do we know that? For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. You know what it is? It is well. I knew the Lord had me on what I ought to preach when Mark got up and sang for Brother Garner of that. The ones of you here, you know what Brother Mark sang. I like the song, It Is Well With My Soul.
I had it written down there, and I was just looking at it as he was singing it along. And I thought, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, now notice, thou hast taught me to say. See what the Shunammite said? It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance. What is the assurance? Election, predestination, glorification. Lay hold of those words, those truths. That Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh the bliss, oh of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh my soul. And here's now how you're at. And Lord, haste the day. Hey, you don't sing wait a little longer, please, Jesus. I thought about that. I used to be kicked off on them old songs. Okay, they said, and Lord, haste the day when the face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so. What is it? It is well. It is well with my soul. And I say, it is well. 1952. God saved me 47 years ago. And then's when I really begin to realize it is well. He saved my wife the same night. We weren't husband and wife then. He added us to a true New Testament Baptist church. And I look back and I say, praise God. It is well. In 1953, he called me to preach. And I look back now and I say, it is well. He brought me to these glorious truths. And he's brought me through many valleys and on the top of many mountains. I've been able to stand with many people as they went out into eternity. And I could give them assurance and say, it is well.